The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas Resources today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
The House votes to go after the president by suing him. Waste of money and time or no, this had to happen. If you want to weigh in, do so right from the get-go. We're going to throw out the digits and let you throw in your 2 cents. And let me tell you, there wasn't a lot of excitement over this when it came to an actual vote. There were 5 Republicans who said, no way, we're not going there. No Democrats voted for it, but overwhelmingly in the House, which has the Republican majority, they decided we're going to go after the Prez. Now, what's interesting here is definitely money will be spent on this, but will any court actually take it up? Because you have to prove malicious intent, in a sense, against the House itself. The Democrats say the suit is just a primer for a Republican-led impeachment of Obama. John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, says there are no impeachment plans. No impeachment plans. As we've mentioned before in a previous show, the Democrats are making hay out of this. Because strategically they see, yeah, you know what? Go ahead. Take a swing. It's not going to happen. And guess what? We're going to make some money off of it. So the Democrats are making money off of the Republicans going after Obama. Republicans are arguing that Obama's executive orders in a number of areas are unlawful because it's the job of Congress to make or change laws. But where they're going to have to try to get him, if any court will take it up, is in the handling of the Affordable Care Act. That's probably the best chance at proving the point. Probably the best one. Because of the time frame, because of the individual employer mandate being delayed for a year. So as I mentioned, not a single House Dem voted for it. 5 Republicans opposed it. Paul Brown of Maryland, Scott Garrett, New Jersey, Tom Massey, Kentucky, Steve Stockholm from Texas, and Walter Jones from North Carolina. So you know that's the ones who said they're not going to do it. But it really, really took the war of words to a whole nother level. Less than 4 months before the congressional midterms, with control of the Senate certainly at stake here. 6 seats is what the Republicans would need. So the focus is on Obamacare, and it also it magnifies what the politics are around the health law. Republicans didn't support it, and they've gone after it ever since it was approved in 2010. It also shows the president's attempt to act on his own, and because he wasn't getting anywhere with Congress, and deciding to push his own top initiatives. Boehner, who has repeatedly said he disagrees with the people pushing impeachment, attempted to shut down the discussion this week about impeachment, saying there are no plans for that, that it's a scam started by the Democrats at the White House. Well, if you're a Democrat, was this a scam, do you think, started by the Democrats? Do you think that's true or not? Democrats, by the way, did seize on this opportunity, not just in fundraising, but on polls, showing a majority of Americans oppose any effort to remove the president from office and aren't letting go of the issue. Nancy Pelosi says the lawsuit was on a path to nowhere, or maybe among some in your ranks, a path to impeachment. Pelosi directed it specifically at Boehner, saying, if you don't want to hear people use the word impeachment as your people have done, then tell them impeachment is off the table, which Boehner is screaming and yelling, it's off the table, it's off the table, it's off the table. Here's what's interesting. A CNN ORC international poll released last week showed that Americans surveyed by a 57-41 margin opposed the lawsuit. Nearly two-thirds say Obama should not be impeached, should not be impeached. And everybody wants to compare the situation to Bill Clinton and what happened in 1998. The House voted to impeach Clinton because he lied to an FBI agent, he lied to a federal grand jury, and he violated the federal law, which was a felony. This is a different case. In this case, Republicans, the burden would be on the belief that he isn't fully executing the laws, which he is sworn to do, and that's a whole different thing. And when you look at constitutional law, I think this is a very tough buy-in, legally. And I believe the whole thing with Obama deciding last summer to delay for a year one of the central tenets to his health law, the requirement for businesses to provide health care coverage to their employees, is what ultimately they came up with as this is the thing that we got to go after. I mean, because this is what they want to go after anyway, but this is the thing constitutionally where we probably have the best shot, because the burden is on the House to present how it was damaged as an institution by the president's actions, and it part of that would be wrapped into it's not the president's job to make the laws, change the laws, everything that I said at the beginning. So throughout this hour, if you want to weigh in on that, is it a waste of your taxpayer money, and are you sick of it? I mean, you could be a Republican or a Democrat, doesn't matter, and think that the lawsuit is frivolous nonsense and spending millions in this direction doesn't matter, because what's the diff? What's it really going to do? What's it really going to change? Or no, there's a point to be made here, and perhaps if it's pursued and then it goes on record, this shuts down the executive order after executive order of the month. Here's the digits, 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. Now, coming up next on the show, this is really cool. We're going to talk to Rod Pyle, my friend who has done a ton of documentaries on NASA and space in general. And did you know that it is the 45th anniversary of Apollo 11? Oh, yes, it's true. Can you believe it? So think for a minute. I was thinking about this the other day, since I like space anyway. Who's your favorite? When you think of Apollo 11, when you think of especially the early space day adventures, I think you really think about the astronauts. Anyone listening to me have a favorite astronaut? A favorite space voyage? Or no, you can't stand it and you don't care if we go into space. I'm hoping that you understand the history in all of this. 45 years. And what's even crazier is someone said to me, it's only 66 years between the first flight at Kitty Hawk by the Wright brothers and the landing of Apollo 11. Wow. What a marvel. So Rod Pyle coming up next here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Hey folks, this is Larry Crisp for BabyBoomerBackupPlan.com. I'm sure you know, this economy sucks. We all realize that the American economy is tremendously unstable right now and will likely get much worse. There's monumental debt, government bailouts, stock and real estate bubbles that are primed to pop at any moment, which can flush away most or all of your retirement savings. This type of movement has enormous consequences. Virtually zero sectors of the economy are hiring, and workforce participation is at record lows. Financial trouble is right here at our doorstep. But if you move right now and develop a backup plan immediately, this could be the most profitable time of your life. Proportionally, more millionaires were created during the Great Depression than at any time in our history. Get my free report at BabyBoomerBackupPlan.com or call 888-507-8789 for my free report. 888-507-8789, and prepare to profit as history repeats itself.
So would you believe that this month actually marks 45 years since Americans first landed on the moon? Yeah, crazy to think about that. And the marvels of Apollo 11. Just remember back in your mind, some of you who can remember that, or others who since then, if you're too young to remember that, if you've been had a chance to go and look at that very special piece of footage that you can dig up almost anywhere. We have in our virtual green room the man who knows all about this and so much more when it comes to space, my pal Rob Pyle. He is a lecturer with the NASA Johnson Space Center, and more than that, lots of books, including his most recent book, I believe this is the most recent, Innovation the NASA Way, and Curiosity Inside the Mars Rover Mission. Rod, you're just so busy. How many books have you put out now so far?
I think this is 8, and those were both this year. Curiosity was about 2 weeks ago, and Innovation was a couple months ago. But that's kind of the new publishing model, you know?
Right.
Write frequently, write well.
Yes, absolutely. Content. You're a content merchant. Did you know that?
That's it. Well, so are you.
I know. It's crazy. We have that in common. It is.
Yeah.
I guess so. So I know Apollo 11 is very, very special to you. Tell people in the nooks and crannies who are listening to us right now, what's so significant about Apollo 11, other than even the most obvious thing, the first time up?
Well, you know, the whole program was just so amazing to me. I was at that impressionable age. I think I was 12 when Apollo 11 landed. But before that, we had had, you know, this program, Gemini, that was building towards Apollo. They were flying these two-man missions. They were all men back in those days, to learn how to dock and rendezvous and all that. And then Apollo came along. The Apollo 1 fire was a big setback, but they came back strong with Apollo 7 and 8. Apollo 8 was very special because we were really worried the Russians were going to beat us. So we said, you know what, we're really not ready to go, but we got to send something out to orbit the moon, or they're really going to steal our thunder. And it was really not much more of a decision than that. It was more technological, but that was the motivation. So they did that. 9 and 10 were test flights, and then 11 was the big moment. That was the moment they were going to land on the moon. That was the moment that this 8 years of incredibly difficult toil, 5% of the national budget at its height, 450,000 people roughly, all working towards this goal. And as a kid, just to feel that, and of course there were only three networks then on television, so you had, you know, very carefully tended news being delivered to you, but it was all very spectacular. And it was just such an amazing thing to be a part of. It's hard to describe to people who weren't there because they were, you know, younger people remember the space shuttle, and roughly half of Americans know much about the space station. It's not a great statistic, but there was just no time like it. And if you're alive then, it was an incredible moment of technological triumph and magic.
Yeah, I say this to people with young kids all the time, that you want to, I think one of the things to do is to go to the Air and Space Museum and really get that feel for what was the history of it and the significance of it. Because what I fear is what's happened in the interim. I mean, we haven't gone back. What's next for NASA? I really feel that we lose a lot of that with the younger generation. Do you think so?
Yeah, and there's the incredible dilution of media, and we're all a part of the media, but you know, there's so many channels, so much information, and so much access, so it's become wonderfully democratized, but it also means that there's a couple thousand voices out there saying we never went to the moon, and there were people there before us, and there's pyramids on Mars, and all this kind of junk. And, you know, there's a lot of young people that watch that stuff and think, well, that's just as legitimate as the other side, so why wouldn't I believe that? And it's horrifying. And I'm with you. You know, take your kids to National Air and Space, or D.C., take them to the Johnson Space Center Visitors Center if you're in Houston. If you're in Florida, go to the Cape. Unfortunately, these places are all holding pens for what has now become historical material. We got three Saturn V sitting around that were used. They're magnificent, but they're $500 million museum sets, you know? So it's tough. Sometimes, you know, I'll go to one of the centers, and I'll just stand there and stare at this stuff, at this machinery. And the lunar modules are there, and some of the command modules are still there. And you think, boy, we really just slammed the door in 1972 with some good reasons. It was expensive, and we had sort of reached the limits of that technology to a certain extent. It was dangerous to do it. And they thought, well, we'll make this bigger, safer space shuttle, and it turned out to be anything but, and very, very expensive. Now, as you probably know, NASA's embarking on the Space Launch System, the SLS, which is the Saturn V and bigger class rocket that they're building. But they're doing it on a tenth of the money they had at the peak of Apollo, and a report just came out the other day saying it's falling behind schedule every day. You know, it's falling behind schedule a year at a time in every year span. So when it'll fly, how often it'll fly, how much it's going to cost is all up in the air, and Congress is fighting over where to go. NASA wants to go to an asteroid. A lot of people in Congress, and I tend to agree with them, think the moon's more important as a stepping stone to go beyond. So there's no agreement. There's no program. There's no John F. Kennedy standing up saying, here's our goal, and, you know, setting that mandate before us.
So having said all of that, ultimately, I still come back to the question, what realistically will be next, other than what you talked about for NASA? What about for, like, astronauts and the program in general?
Just to jump sideways for a second, thank God for JPL, because they're on the small end of the pipeline. They don't get a lot of money, but they do amazing things. I think that keeps people engaged. Curiosity has been a magnificent success. There's another one going up in 2020 that may drill samples and keep them for later retrieval if somebody approves the money for that. As far as the 100-plus astronauts sitting around NASA goes, you know, we're hitching rides with the Russians at $70 million a seat. It's not a good state of affairs. I think cancellation of the shuttle was a little premature with nothing really in place to replace it. But here's the wild card. Elon Musk, that madman out in Hawthorne, California. You know, he made electric cars. He did his bit with PayPal. Then 9 years ago, he said, I'm going to build rockets. And NASA and the Air Force said, sure you are, kid. Well, he did. And they work. And he's been delivering stuff to the space station. And just about a month and a half ago, he unveiled his Dragon version 2, which is this magnificent, big, roomy 21st century space capsule with digital displays and seven seats. And, I mean, if you were there on the press junket, it was just breathtaking. It was like almost like stepping back to the 60s when Apollo was at its height. And there he is with smoke, literally smoke and mirrors and rock music and all this stuff, you know, pulling the curtain off of this with dry ice smoke coming out from underneath it and so forth. And he thought, you know, I think the space program's back, but it's private now. So that's a real game changer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, but thank goodness.
You're watching.
Yeah. I mean, thank goodness Musk is there. It's funny. I love your description of that. Everybody said, yeah, yeah, yeah. But now he really is the future, isn't he?
He is. And there's three or four other companies. I mean, of course, there's Virgin Galactic, and then a couple of other operators are going to do these suborbital tourist flights. But there's a company called Dream Chaser that's building a vehicle called the Dream Chaser, which is actually an old design from the 60s of NASA and the Air Force. Looks like a little space shuttle that's going to be able to do orbital operations. And then both Boeing and, very quietly, Jeff Bezos of Amazon are building their own space capsules. It's just uncertain what they'll be launched on. Musk is the only one that's actually got his own rockets to play with. Talk about great toys, you know. So there's a lot of people entering that space, but that's all orbital. So the big hope is, in the space community, the big hope is that these private companies will take over the trucking to orbit and back of astronauts and supplies and components. And hopefully NASA will do what it does best, which is really start pushing and move beyond, go to the moon, eventually go to Mars when we lick all those technological problems, because most of us realize what we need to be doing. And it's a hard argument to make on a philosophical side. You know, we do it because it's right, because it's ennobling and all this kind of stuff. But just economically, when you think about it, you know, space programs are one of the few things that America does still better than just about anybody else. And where all the money spent here, 35% of the Chevy I own was built in the U.S. The rest of it was sourced from foreign parts. Other than software and certain other small industries, the space program is one thing that really plows money back in the United States, back into technological development, engineering, schools. NASA was a huge partner for education over the years. And that's a good thing. You know, it's a kick to the economy, and it's a real boost of our technological abilities.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'd be remiss not to ask you this, because you were talking about being 12 and Apollo 11 and all that. Do you have a favorite astronaut?
Oh, my God. At the risk of alienating any of those wonderful guys, I'd have to say Al Bean, because he was Apollo 12 in Skylab. Really nice guy, really genuine guy. But he came back and said, you know what, that was marvelous. I don't want to be an astronaut anymore. I'm going to be a painter, and he's been an artist ever since. And he paints the most wonderful. If you look him up on the web, you'll see his work. He just paints themes from Apollo and the space program years, but they're breathtaking. And that's his calling.
I'm going to do that. John Glenn was my favorite because I went into journalism, and of course he was one of the first people I got to interview, and he was just took so much time with me, and he made space so fascinating to me. So John Glenn was absolutely mine. We're going to talk about that tonight on America Tonight. Rod, if somebody wants to pick up one of your 8 books, how can they do that? Can they go to Amazon?
They're all still on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble.
Awesome. Rod, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight again.
Thanks. See you soon.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Springtime is saved big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Big shout out to everybody listening to us in Virginia Beach, WHKT, 1650 AM. Virginia Beach is, boy, especially in the summertime, get there early, find a place, and then jump off the beach, and the short boardwalk is awesome there, and they've got a couple of good pieces to grab a slice of pizza. I've probably been to Virginia Beach, and like many of you. It's a great area. I've probably been there maybe 24 times in my life, maybe more than that, because as a kid we used to go to Virginia Beach a lot. Time for some odds and ends here in America tonight, things we couldn't get to that I absolutely want to be able to talk about here on this show. And then in our last segment as we come around the bend, we've got one of my favorite things that we do, fruits and nuts, shred it or bingo, and Dan Burnt, who is filling in for Nathan Reeder, will join me in the lion's den. How about that? Now, I'm sure we'll have a lot of fun with that one. Absolutely. All right, here's some interesting things that might have fallen off your radar. Didn't fall off mine. Got a couple of links and talked to a few people about some things that, believe it or not, besides immigration, besides what's going on with a potential ceasefire or not, it's certainly not looking that way between Israel and Hamas, the time ticking away in Afghanistan and our ultimate withdrawal of our troops there, and of course the VA hospital. The Senate now on Thursday will vote on their own bill. It's a $17 billion compromise bill overhauling the Department of Veteran Affairs following all those scandals of the patient wait times, and easily pass the House 420 to 5. Shouldn't have trouble in the Senate, and then that'll be that, thank goodness. And we'll see what our new secretary does. But you know, when you hit bottom, what do they say? There's no place to go but up. No place to go but up, right? This is an interesting odds or end moment, because we actually had somebody call the show who had a family member who died as a result of this. But a Texas lawyer has filed a lawsuit against General Motors representing 658 people who were injured or killed in crashes because of the faulty ignition switches. It was filed in a court in Manhattan, and it names 29 people who were killed and the 629 who were hurt. All the crashes happened after GM emerged from bankruptcy protection in July of 2009. That makes them exempt from GM's effort to shield itself from claims due to crashes that happened before bankruptcy. So how about that? The lawsuit says that GM knew about the defective switches that can cause engines to stall as early as 2001, but they didn't recall any cars until this year. The switches can cut off the engine, knock out power steering and brakes, and disable the airbags, which wouldn't protect people in a crash. So they're looking for in excess of at least $75,000 in damages for each of the plaintiffs. And this will be an interesting one to watch, because GM is definitely squirming on this, knowing full well the information's out there that I just mentioned that they knew since 2001. But oh gee, oh gosh, what a hassle. We're not going to fix the part on this. And I think they've got a really good case. I think they have a really good case here. Washington State Council approved this crazy, controversial thing once again, in God We Trust plaque. You know, how many challenges are we going to have here? So the local paper of record, the Tacoma News, reported that the council, the Pierce County City Council, approved displaying a slogan, In God We Trust, in its chambers. And citizens and council members were going back and forth, debated this for more than 2 hours. One person had to be dragged from the chambers by the cops. He was making a bunch of disparaging remarks about religion. And so now the slogan is expected to appear on a plaque in a council chambers as early as November after a 4-3 vote. Well, I just don't get this. I don't understand the animosity, especially over the In God We Trust. I mean, it's universal, for goodness sake. It's what it is. So why can't this just stand? Why can't it just stand? Now, there was somebody who said, look, it's a secular place to do government business in. And supporters of the phrase say the U.S. Supreme Court backed it as well. There were people that favored invoking God's name on the wall of city council chambers, and others who said they don't agree with the decision because it's divisive. It's divisive, for goodness sake, to hang a plaque on a wall that is not some giant plaque in the first place, but regardless. And it really took them a lot of time to duke it out. So there you go, on a local level, taxpayer dollars, all the things, potholes, other things that have to be dealt with. Where's the focus on something that shouldn't have even made it that far? I'm sorry, I just don't understand it. Don't understand it. Here's something that's just not going to go away. Lois Lerner is not going to be able to brush off Daryl Issa and the Republicans who just flat out have it in for her. I mean, they just want to get to the bottom of the situation with the IRS. And then more and more the emails that surface do not help her cause. They don't support it. So they dug up some emails from Lerner where she refers to some Republican Party people as blank holes and crazies. In an exchange, they show that, say, that shows she had animosity toward conservatives. And this was in November 2012. They were released by the House Ways and Means Committee chair as part of the call for the Justice Department to appoint a special counsel to investigate. Lerner is the ex-IRS official who led the unit accused of targeting conservative groups that were trying to get, as you know, the tax-exempt status for extra scrutiny. And in the email exchanges, she appears to be chatting with somebody else about a vacation in England, and she describes how she overheard some people talking about how America's going down the tubes, and then she responds to something and says, you should hear the wacko wing of the GOP. The U.S. is through, too many foreigners sucking the teat, time to hunker down, buy ammo and food, and prepare for the end. The right-wing radio shows are scary to listen to. Man, I'll tell you what, here's what this proves to me more than anything. Somebody in this position just not even thinking, why write that in an email? Why would you even put that down in an email? What, not realizing that this could come back in any form to you by writing that? So, I mean, it makes no sense. It does make sense. It makes sense that she's among many, many people who think when you pump out emails or social media, it can never come out back and burn you, haunt you. And there's no question this is going to haunt her because of the fact that so many of those groups sat and waited, and never got their tax-exempt status. And Daryl Issa is like a dog with a bone. He is not letting this go. He's not letting it go. So, if anything, they're getting to the bottom of the emails that they think prove the point of Lerner, I guess, being the blockade. But did she hear it from someone higher up? And that ultimately is the part of the jigsaw puzzle I think that everybody wants to know. But just in case, the example I just gave you there, if you have to vent, you have to vent in a different way than on your company email. And she chose to do that, and that's why they wanted to see all the emails. I mean, they knew it. They knew that something was going on there, and they wanted to see it. All right, then finally, this one. What is going on with planes and crash landings? Pretty scary. I remember talking about this on the air a couple of months ago, my pal Ron giving me a great bucket list moment when I got to fly his small plane. And I asked him about crashes, and he told me that most of the crashes, they don't talk about it, but it has to do with them not properly reading their fuel gauge and having enough fuel, which seems oh so simple. But a small plane crashed into a San Diego shopping center parking lot on Wednesday, killed an 80-year-old woman who was the lone passenger and injured the pilot. And this plane went down in a parking lot at Costco and Target area. They were both there. It went down around 5:30 in the night. Bounced while it landed, and that was it. Lost power. And this is like that crash the other day in Florida, saying, well, wow, lost power, and it's going down, and that's it. So the plane clipped the top of the Target store, knocked down a light pole, and then spun around, finally landed in the parking lot in a loading dock area away from the main entrances. No cars were there. But what a nightmare. Caught fire, flames were put out, the pilot had major injuries. The injured woman was expected to live. A man who tried to help after the crash was treated for minor cuts and burns. Wow. Stay with us.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell? Yes? Okay. Can you sell the intangible? If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at GCNlive.com. Again, that's advertise at GCNlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, and we're ushering in, oh yes, one of my favorite, Mr. Burnt. He's filling in for, as I mentioned before, Nathan Reeder. So how are you doing, Dan?
I'm doing great.
Glad you were able to fill in. Thank you for that. Okay, so Dan, are you ready to play?
Oh, I'm ready.
I love that attitude. You gotta love it. It's time for Fruits and Nuts, Shred It or Bingo.
Bingo!
Yeah, there you go. All right, so here's our first story. A twister filled with a man-eating shark is going to hit New York City, or at least they say on your TV screens. Sharknado 2, the second one, debuts coming up on Wednesday on the Sci-Fi Network. And a lot of people are anxious to see if it has teeth, so to speak. As it's been described at CNN and other networks, it's the sequel to 2013's TV movie turned pop cultural phenomenon, Sharknado. It just blows up social media. I mean, last summer, Sharknado churned up laughs and 5.3 million viewers over the course of three airings on Sci-Fi, and it got pretty creative. You had people live tweeting and shark memes circling the web, all that kind of stuff. You have stars from the past like Tara Reid and Ian Ziering returning to the sequel to take on the weather system and save the Big Apple. It looks kind of cheesy, and if you have no idea what it's about, I mean, it just kind of looks like that to me. It's about a global shark apocalypse, sort of. That's what they say. So what do you think? Is it fruits and nuts, shredded, or bingo?
I would say fruits and nuts.
You're not into Sharknado.
It was okay. It was hyped up a little bit too much for me when I saw it. I love B-horror movie, but it was a little...
Too hyped up?
Yeah, a little too much hype before I saw it, I guess. So I was just disappointed.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to agree with you. I think that it was more hype than anything. The term Sharknado got people interested, made people think, wow, what's this about? And then, you know, the whole live tweeting thing propped it up. But, I mean, I think that's all it was. It was about the live tweeting. There wasn't much to it otherwise.
Yeah, I got really excited about the name, but the actual movie.
Yeah, it was stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. See, that's like kind of, in a weird way, that's like it's like good branding, but then you don't get the payoff.
Yeah.
So will they get the amount of people paying attention this time around? I don't know. If sometimes things become cult phenomenons, and they're not the best things that are out there. They just they just make their way through. I mean, who can account for good taste? It's all subjective. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
It is. It's confounding. It is. It's confounding. That's what it is. All right. So how about this one? This is a crazy thing. Of all the things people throw or do to cars, you know, it's so dangerous with the whole snowball deal. I grew up in the Northeast, and there'd be people in overpasses. It didn't happen to me, but every once in a while hear a sad story then where somebody threw a snowball, and it was kids, and maybe they didn't mean to, but then a driver crashed because they were throwing snowballs off the top of the, you know, overpass. So then in Massachusetts, it was a very scary moment on a highway north of Boston when an axe smashed through the windshield of a car, a real axe. The state police say the axe bounced out of a landscaper's dump truck at about 11 in the morning on Interstate 95, which is a huge thoroughfare. I mean, it's just so crowded. They released a photo showing the axe with a corner of its blade stuck in the passenger side of the car dashboard, the handle sticking through the windshield. The car's passenger was shaken up but not hurt. The truck driver was cited for failure to secure the axe, just a $200 fine. It could have been worse, they say, if the car's driver wasn't actually going 65 miles an hour, which was the speed limit. They fear what could have really happened there. So fruits and nuts, shredded, or bingo?
I'm not sure what to say about that one.
I think it's bingo. I mean, it's a strange thing that happened. If you don't have things securely tied down, it's so it seems, if you ever had to haul anything, all of a sudden, it turns into a menace for somebody behind you in a car or in a truck. I know people listening to us can relate to that, can't you, out there? How about one time for me, I was in Dallas, Texas, and a mattress just flew off and was in the middle of the road. I narrowly missed hitting that, thank goodness, because the car, I mean, I wasn't in a giant truck. If I was in a giant truck, maybe it wouldn't have mattered. And there's all kinds of things that become dangerous when they fall off of cars or whatever, and it happens all the time.
And it's so easy to overlook all that little stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, where you think it's not a big deal, like, okay, I have tools, and that's the axe is thrown in there.
It's secure, but now I'm on the highway, and things are bouncing around, and now it's loose.
Yep. It's a good lesson for anyone. Tie it down. They have all those things that you can tie stuff down with. Always tie it down. I have another crazy story. I just thought of this. It's going to make everyone laugh, and it's very personal, but I don't care. I'm going to tell you. My mother-in-law, when I got married, gave us, she had this great mattress that she never used. It was for a king-size bed. So, of course, we took it, but then we thought, well, no big deal. Tie the mattress down on the top of the Land Rover or whatever it was that we had, And so we thought we had it secure, and we were driving 2 hours away, Dan. Let me tell you, we were holding on to the mattress in the middle of the highway. I mean, you want to talk about, we looked like we were a bunch of rednecks, like the Beverly Hillbillies. I don't know. It was crazy. And that's when I learned that lesson about, oh, yeah, you got to really tie it down. You think it's tied down, and then the wind hits it. People are honking. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy. So let's move on to this one. A Florida family scavenging for sunken treasure, which sounds pretty cool, on a shipwreck has found the missing piece of a 300-year-old gold filigree necklace. So a cool necklace. Sacred to Spanish priests, they say. Eric Schmidt, a professional salvager, was scavenging with his parents when he found the crumbled square-shaped ornament on a leisure trip to hunt for artifacts on the wreckage of a convoy of 11 ships that sank in 1715 during a hurricane off of Central Florida's East Coast. Wow, that's crazy, 11 ships. So after this discovery last month, a team of Spanish historians realized the piece fit together with another artifact that was recovered 25 years ago. It formed this accessory called that a pyx that was worn on a chain around the high priest's neck to carry the communion host. The dollar value, they don't know, but they think it's like some incredible amount. So how about that? I mean, this is the same guy, Schmidt, who discovered about $300,000 worth of gold coins and change from the same wreckage.
Oh, wow.
I mean, so, I don't know, fruits and nuts, shredded, or bingo?
Bingo.
Yeah, bingo. How cool would that be to, can you imagine, like being with your friends or your family or whoever even, and just diving and, geez, what are we going to find today? Oh, my gosh, look, there's some gold coins.
Hey, look at this.
But they know so much what they're doing that, okay, he finds the one thing and it just, well, it looks cool, but lo and behold, somebody discovered something that fit with it, and it now you know what the piece is. It's wild, isn't it?
Should be careful. They might have to throw it into a volcano.
Yeah, that sounds like one of those Indiana Jones things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, one more last one for you. The last crew member of the Enola Gay died in Georgia, and the Enola Gay was, of course, the plane, the crew that dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima. And the last surviving member is Dutch Van Kirk, and he said it made him very wary of war and that he would like to see all the world's atomic bombs abolished. How about that? So he died at the age of 93. I'm going to say bingo because he said, you know, hey, I dropped the bomb, and it was necessary because it shortened the war, which he agreed. And it eliminated the need for an Allied land invasion, and it would have cost more lives. But he said, you know, boom, after seeing that, he wanted nothing more to do with it. He wanted it all abolished. So, bravo. I say bingo.
Yeah,
we agree on that one. Bingo, bingo. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. And thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through